Survivor Specialist Phil and Alexa are back with our episode 5 recap of Survivor Season 42. And we just had the Green Tribe go to Tribal Council for the second time this season, which means we're going into the fake merge bullshit at a 4-4-4 split. But also, the Green Tribe just cannot get it together ever when they go to Tribal Council. And I am left scratching my head for the second time in a row that they have gone. The first time I scratched my head over Chanel and Daniel's actions. This time I'm scratching specifically for Chanel's actions. Why did she vote for Mike? Can somebody please explain why she voted for Mike and why we ended up having to have a revote, which still kept Daniel under 5 votes on the season, I think, because I don't think he – because he didn't get any votes in the first episode. So he got 2. They revoted. He got 3. So he still ends up with less than 5. So congrats for everybody who had that in the prop bet game.
Yeah, and not many props. Romeo had his mouth blurred for like the 900th time this season. Drea got an immunity idol and got the episode title. We have so much to talk about there, but I equally am extremely confused. I don't know which way to go here, because when that Mike vote came up, maybe they were just like stretched for time. At first I was like, oh, this must be planned because no one seems surprised except for Mike. So, and then they just like went for a revote and automatically did Daniel. So that's why I thought, okay, like maybe for some reason this is planned, because having Chanel and Daniel tied must have been planned. But then for Mike to have like looked at Chanel so knowingly, and then he also voted for her, and he said like, see, I promised I'd keep you. So I don't know if they're just like spitting in each other's faces. I really don't know. I was kind of under the assumption that Chanel would go home, but I think there was just a lot this episode with, especially I think like the Daniel swimming and then sitting out for, as I've just found out, the 4th time this season. And he did like, I don't think that Chanel had a great Tribal Council performance. It seemed very like dismissive and like purposely quiet, but I think Daniel's was just too over the top.
Yeah. Somebody just, I'm reading the comments as you're going here. It seems like what the whole reasoning for the vote situation was, if Daniel plays a shot in the dark, he doesn't get a vote. So then there's all these votes that go in on Daniel that don't count. She's throwing a vote at Mike so that Mike is the one who will go home if Daniel plays a shot in the dark successfully, because Daniel doesn't vote. So then if it ends up being 0-0-0 because they put all 4 votes on Daniel, then there's a revote and Chanel goes home. So that was her way of protecting herself. But she didn't know. And then that makes sense why there was the split, because if Daniel plays the shot in the dark, now Mike ensures that Chanel gets 1 vote, and the most votes that he can get is 1 from Chanel. The other 2 go for Daniel, who they wanted out in the first place, but at least it would force a revote between Mike and Chanel. So it does make sense why they did it. Chanel's makes sense, but she got caught because the other 3 had decided they were going to split the votes to ensure that what she was doing couldn't happen.
Right. I was going to say, if she worked with High and Lydia on this, I get it, but why would High want to put Mike in a position like that? It's just very weird. I'm really intrigued to see, like, I don't know if Daniel's going to have anything about this in his exit press, but very confusing. I feel like this, yet again, it's just this tribe is such a hot mess. Like, could have been simple and just didn't have for it to be. But I'm going to miss Daniel. I think he was a very exciting player to have. I think he was a really great last boot to have going into the whatever we're going to be dealing with next week. And I will say I'm not going to miss his high socks with the loafers. I truly,
very weird look.
I like him. I know I hope you're listening, Daniel. Tough look, but I love the confidence.
It's definitely a weird look, I gotta be honest. Yeah, I'm kind of bummed that he went right before the merge. We'll see what Chanel does, because I do think Chanel definitely has the ability to kind of cause some chaos. Yeah. But I think Daniel would have been the perfect person to hit the merge, because I think once somebody like Daniel hits the merge, he's going to cause a lot of chaos. He was already causing chaos in his first tribe. I think he's just so talkative that he's going to talk himself into corners from time to time, and that's going to create really interesting TV. So it is a bummer that we lose him right before this. And I will say, and this isn't really a knock, I mean, now that the vote thing kind of makes sense, if that's what the thinking was, I just really don't think that, like, Chanel right now is the most compelling character on this season, which is why, like, Daniel is bringing something different than everybody else was bringing. I don't feel like Chanel is bringing something that much different than what everybody else is bringing. So when you're going like right into a merge situation, I'm looking for like, who's going to be the most fun to get in there. And that's why it kind of sucked last year when Sydney went right before the jury, because Sydney would have been so amazing on the jury. And I think like we miss out, even if Daniel only goes one more vote, we miss out on that chaos of Daniel going one more vote. Now, granted, these people don't care, and good on Chanel for not playing as bad as Daniel. Chanel played a better game than Daniel. That's why Chanel is still in the game. But I just think that like, it is a bummer to lose Daniel this close to the merge, because I do think that he would have been a fun person to watch when he was completely solo. Because I'll tell you what, 4-4-4, Vati is toast. This tribe is not sticking together. The best case scenario for somebody like High is be one of the last two people from your tribe with probably Lydia or Mike, who now has an idol, and try to convince the other two tribes that they need you to work against each other. Because this tribe is not sticking together. They have no rhythm. Chanel is definitely going to be looking for another avenue, which I don't blame her. She's going to go very Sarah Lucina from Cagayan. High and Lydia are going to try to stick together. Mike's not going to want to work with Chanel now because he just got the vote, and Mike has an idol. Who's Mike going to find on one of these other tribes that he's just going to flat out like more? It's just going to happen.
Yeah, and what's tough for Mike's position is he hasn't met anyone else. And I think the difference is, or maybe this isn't the difference between this season and last season, but last season we were like, okay, like maybe Evie and Deshaun are going to like meet up. I feel like there's no relationship that's going to come out of any of these journeys. Going back to the Chanel thing, she's certainly less like entertainingly chaotic than Daniel. But I think what is, to me, what's intriguing about her, and I don't think she's going to win, that my whole bit is out the window at this point, but she does have, she is a bit confident. I don't really think in this stage in the game, she should be that confident. I think like, especially in this tribal council, like I felt like she was in, like being like a little dismissive. And I think that was smart because she was just kind of letting Daniel dig his own grave. But in my head, I was like, well, the last time you were super confident and you said your social game was so good, you like the whole thing blew up. So I think she'll either have a really like impressive bounce back, or she's going to get burned because Mike's going to be mad at her. And I think Omer might be mad at her. Does he still not have a vote at this merge?
He does not have a vote.
Because that's not good.
Yeah, Omer still does not have a vote because they have not gone to tribal council yet. So,
like, yikes.
That is yikes. And so that's where, like, I'm interested to see what's going to happen next week, because we're being told all of a sudden after last week of so much camaraderie and everything, now all of a sudden Jonathan and Marianne are fighting and Marianne's annoying. And
shocking to everyone.
Yeah, Lindsay won't stop talking even though she had zero confessionals tonight. Like,
We did call that in the pre-merge.
We did, yeah. But so all of that happens, and then we have the Blue Tribe, where Tori is still doing her own thing, and nobody trusts Roxroy, and Romeo and Drea are tight. We have a couple pretty tight pairs, but that's really all we have going into this merge. So I'm just curious how that's going to work out with Omer not having a vote. And again, I think the Hourglass twist could surprise some people next week. And my reasoning is this. If we hit a spot, they're going to split them, what, 5 and 5, and two people sit out, and then one person has a chance to go to the island. Let's assume it's the same thing as last year. 5 versus 5, two people
sat
go.
Out last time?
Two people. It was Erica and Nasir, and Nasir didn't get to do anything, and Erica got to go to the island.
Oh, right.
So Nasir just went back vulnerable, and then I think became safe. But what I find interesting is this time, let's say it's Lindsay who goes. Jonathan's on the winning tribe. Jonathan's on the winning tribe. Lindsay goes, and Omer is on there with Lindsay or with Jonathan. She's not going to flip it. She's not going to flip it. Like, that's not going to happen. Now, I don't know what's going to happen here, but I'm just saying there's an instance this year where it's not going to happen because everybody pretty much knows, I think, that Omer doesn't have his vote. I think he probably told Jonathan at least. So
how do you think he knows that? He probably thinks he has an extra vote, though.
Oh, that's true. He doesn't know.
Because he thinks Chanel
that's true.
Would have protected
him. He doesn't find out until he actually gets to a tribal council, so he doesn't know. So, but
hopefully he goes to Chanel and they clear the air.
They could, but that would be after the decision has to be made by whoever goes, and they're obviously not going to know what that is. But I just think, like, if you're, let's say you're Romeo and Drea wins, are you going to go and make yourself safe at the merge, or are you going to let Drea if Drea is on the winning tribe, are you going to let Drea be safe and keep yourself vulnerable? Or are you going to make yourself safe and now put one of the biggest threats in the game as not safe? I just think there's a different dynamic this year. Erica was kind of a lone wolf going in. It was her and Heather. Yeah. She did it to protect Heather and to protect herself. This year, I think we're going to see something different, depending on who wins and who doesn't. So that's just, I mean, that's obviously what's coming up, but it's we have a 4-4-4. One of these tribes is going to be down 4-4-3 when we hit the jury. This next vote is actually pretty big for jury control, jury management, because let's say the next person to go home is Lydia. High's not going to get Lydia's vote if High goes to the final tribal council. Same vice versa. That's a big thing. So that's saying if Omer goes next, Jonathan's not getting Omer's vote if he goes to final tribal council. Those are big because they're not there anymore. And this season, it could really matter. This could be a really close final tribal, depending on who from each tribe gets there or if it is dominated by one tribe, that people are only going to know this was day 11. They're only going to know him for 15 days.
Yeah, that's true. I think like with this being a 4-4-4 merge, we are in like, we could be in for a really, really cool situation because I think there's really, like you said, there's only pairs. There's Drea and Romeo, who I think are such a good pair. They're like the best version of Shan and Ricard. Mm-hmm. I think Omer and Jonathan are a super tight duo. And I think High and Lydia, and I think everyone else is kind of all over the place. I'm curious, because now I want to speculate a bit. So we obviously know the same thing is happening. There could be a bit of an adjustment. We see Mike saying, is this a merge? Smartly asking. And Jeff does his like, nah, I don't know. Yeah. Do we think he is honest with them this time? What do we think he changes, if anything?
I think he does change the wording of, if you go, you could change the outcome of the entire game. Or something like that. Like, I do think that we're going to get something extra from him this time. So as to, it's not just like it was last time. I think we're going to get something different, at least a little bit. Last I remember, he told them, this isn't a merge. Half of you will make the merge. Half of you will be fighting to get into the merge. I just think that he's going to let them. I hope he lets them in a little bit more. I hope Danny McRae was able to convince him that, hey, this was bullshit. Tell the people what's going to happen here. But either way, what's he going to be able to tell them that's really going to make that much of a difference? Really nothing, I don't think.
I think he has – to me, like, what would make it okay is if he tells them what the person on Exile Island does so that they know if they win immunity, they might not actually win immunity.
Yeah, he's never going to do that.
Yeah, and that's the problem, like, kind of like how he – like outed Chanel and Mike for not having votes last time they were at tribal council. Like he would be, by saying that, he automatically puts the hourglass smasher into like the danger zone. He automatically puts Tarkin on the back. To me, if he does anything other than like complete honesty with them, I'm going to be equally as mad because yet again, you are winning a challenge and then completely being lied to about it.
Yeah. I think it's just going to be the same thing. And yeah, but again, this season, it really does seem like okay, let's look at this immunity challenge. Omer shits the bed. Jonathan still wins it for the tribe.
Shits the bed, big time.
But Jonathan still comes out and wins it. And Jonathan, with one hand. Mike is literally putting his whole body behind it. 117-year-old Mike is doing everything he can.
I loved that. That was cute.
And so he wins this. And I'm saying he wins this. Like, he won this for his tribe because Omer lost it for the tribe. And the only one to do anything was Jonathan, and he won it for his tribe. We have been told all pre-merge that Jonathan just wins and wins and wins. I got to assume whoever he's paired up with is going to win. I think that that is going to change things. I really am praying that we don't get a flip like we did last year with the hourglass. I'm really a smash because a flip would make too much friggin' sense. I'm really hoping that we don't get a smash this year. And I think because we have this rare instance of knowing that Jonathan is going to be on the winning tribe, like I know it, there's no way he's not. It's just because it was such a physical challenge last year too. And that's what they've been playing up with this challenge. Mm-hmm. If it's going to be just as physical as it was last year, he's going to be on the winning tribe. What is that going to do? I just think it's interesting.
And he's someone that like, we've really like, I don't want to say never, but we haven't seen a challenge performer like him in so long. Mm-hmm. Like I would have to imagine that Survivor would be completely shooting themselves in the foot if they take away, actively choose to take away a win from him. And yeah. I'm saying that because I assume that he'll win. That's a good point. I think I'm curious if they changed it, because obviously they knew that Jonathan was cast when the situation happened with 41. I don't know. I really don't know. I think the only way to make it okay is, this is what I said, like, way back in the Reality Pop preseason thing, but tell everyone the rules up front, and then everyone's schoolyard picks each other so that you know who you're putting in that hourglass position. Then it's fun. Then they have a little bit of choice in the matter. I don't know. But 2 hours, too. It's like, I know.
2 hours next week. I have a game at 6, so hopefully I'm good. But 2 hours gives me enough time to recover. Gives me enough time. It will be fine. I'm just I like that it's a 2 hour one, because now we're not going to sit at this middle point of nobody being voted out of Survivor at the midpoint of an episode.
Yeah, that was
stupid.
Dumb.
So let's talk about everything that's coming up though. So we've already talked about it's 4-4-4. I think it's very clear Drea and Romeo are the tight alliance there.
Great duo.
Tori is their third right now, and Roxroy is lost. He's without a paddle. He's just happy to be there.
Really? I think it's the other way around. I think Roxroy is lost and happy to be there. And self-admittedly, it's like, I don't know what's happening. Let me ride your coattails. Tori's like, hell no, I'm out of here.
I think Tori would work with Drea and Romeo because they haven't lied to her yet. And I think she's okay with that. And I think they might be more willing to work with her because she is more like what you're used to seeing on Survivor. Whereas Roxroy, he's the type of person who just goes in and just says, like, whatever. Now, granted, I actually think that group of four might be the tightest, and I'm using air quotes here, just based on what we saw tonight. Roxroy and Toya are never going to see eye to eye. However, that's not necessarily going to kill them. Like, they're not going to be, they don't hate each other. Vati, I think Chanel and Mike are now going to be butting heads. But we have High and Lydia, who are very tight. So it's funny that we can just look at each tribe and see a really strong pair. And then we get to the Orange tribe. They tried to force this Omer Jonathan thing down our throats. Mm-hmm. Doesn't seem real. I don't buy that Lindsay and Marianne are that annoying. And I don't buy that they're that annoying and also paired up. There is no strong pair there.
To me, they're not. They don't seem paired up. At least Omer and Jonathan, like, I feel like there's been some sort of consistency there. Lindsay and Marianne, for what it's worth, probably are that annoying. That whole bit, I was like, I don't need this. But I don't think they're necessarily like buddy buddy. And I forget where I was going with that.
I think that tribe.
They are the blue tribe. That whole scene was siblings who have spent too much time together. That's all I got out of it. I think Marianne, I'm sure she was being annoying. And Jonathan was also doing that thing where he couldn't exist in the same room as people who annoyed him. It was one of those situations.
I agree. And I think the best thing for them is that they're going to get to a bigger group now. And now they all get to go use their strengths to move forward in the game.
Yeah.
What I thought was interesting, though, seemed like there were some needless shots by the editors at Marianne tonight. She definitely came out looking bad in this situation compared to Jonathan, who came out looking very self-aware. We very rarely get these types of, he's talking about, I can't argue with her. I can't. I have to walk away. Arguing with her is not going to do anything. I'm 6'4". I weigh 250 pounds. I am the bad guy. Knowing that is so huge. And the fact that they're telling us that he knows that, I think is just a really good thing for his edit and his longevity in this game. I thought it was interesting. I think it's just that he happened to be butting heads with Marianne, and I think he is just much closer with Lindsay and Omer to the point where he can't butt heads with them. But I did think that it was weird to see that and then have Marianne just be like, oh, Jonathan almost hit me with the machete or whatever. And he like didn't, but like he did. It was kind of like a weird scene. But he is being shown as being self-aware in this whole situation. It's a good thing. And he's telling us how self-aware he is while we know that his stereotype is like, I'm going to argue with you. I'm going to yell at you. I don't care. Like, I'm going to brute my way through this game. He's not doing that.
Yeah. We definitely saw shades of like Jonathan not being perfect because when he got the tarp, like in the middle of Jeff talking, like gets the tarp, like he does chop, like, I don't even know what he chopped the wood near Marianne. Like he is like, we're showing him being annoyed, but to your point, he's Like, I thought, I think no one would ever say that. Like, oh, I'm the huge guy. She's the young, small person. What am I going to do? Like, not like, how do I win in this situation?
Yeah.
And I think even both of them, when like they were both going back and forth with each other separately, but it wasn't even that mean spirited. Like, it felt like they were both trying. They both still couldn't get there. And then he was like, you know, this isn't it. Yeah. So again, I think these are people who have spent way too much time together, but I don't think they hate each other the way that like the Blue Tribe couldn't stand each other.
Yeah. So this happens. Marianne finally gets her idol tonight after the third time saying the stupid bunny and the rabbit thing, whatever.
I can't believe she said that three times.
I know. So she does that. She's good. Lindsay will now have, she's going to be able to reunite with Drea and Hai, uh-huh. right? Drea and
they
Hai.
They all get a steal.
They all have the extra vote. It's not steal yet. It's just
so extra. Many extra votes.
One person goes and then it becomes a steal. So right now it's Hai, like Lindsay will have it. So that's good. We go over to the green, we go over to the green tribe. Mike has his idol. He did elect to say it tonight and he made it seem like that was his choice. I think the producers forced him to do this tonight. I don't think he had a choice because I think he was cheating. I'm not going to lie. I think he was cheating.
And I don't think he knew he was cheating for what it's Agreed. Worth. But that whole scene frustrated me so much where it was like him and Mike and someone else, and they were talking and they were like, oh, so if you just don't say it, you get it in 3 days. I was like, this is so idiotic that they changed the rules.
It's a big loophole.
That's so dumb. Why are we even doing this? Why are you even making them say these dumb phrases?
And because now all of a sudden it just became he found an idol that's just not activated for a couple of tribal councils.
Exactly. So
I think that he was forced. I don't think he had a choice in the whole thing. And I think like the producers told him, like, if the other two people find this, you have to say it. You don't have a choice. Now, like when I say Mike is cheating, I don't think, like you said, he didn't know. I don't think he's being malicious in this. I don't think he's trying to cheat. I don't think he's trying to game the game. It makes sense to not say it until you're the last one to say it. But the goal of this can't be, oh, everybody's just going to sit there in silence and have their idols and then just get them at the merge without ever having to say the phrase. Because then that becomes pointless. Everybody who finds that just not going to have a vote for the entire pre-merge. And then once they hit the merge, they're going to get their idol and their vote back if they can get that far. It doesn't make sense to do that. So I think they forced Mike's hand to do this. But anyway, so Mike has that. Hai has the extra vote. Lydia and Chanel have nothing. Now we go over to the Blue Tribe. We're all stupid. That's all I'm going to say. Because Tori didn't find the idol. It was Drea. Not even close to the same person.
Cracking up. There was a tweet like at some point last week when the whole internet was in flames about the fact that Tori hadn't found it yet. It's like this guy on YouTube. I don't know anything about him. I watch it and it's like just a 15-second clip. And Survivor did the thing where it's like a person holding the clue. We don't really know who it is. And then Tori's face looking down and then the voice. So I don't know if it was Tori's voice. It sounds like someone was arguing that it couldn't have been someone else's voice, but they totally got us. As soon as Drea found it, I was freaking out, but good on them. But also, can we just put ourselves in a situation where we don't have to worry about this like ever again? But pumped for Drea. She's got it all.
Drea has it all. So Drea has the amulet. She has the extra vote that she earned. And she has the idol. That's crazy.
That's crazy.
That's a lot of stuff.
For what it's worth, I'm not happy about it. But like Drea's cool, so I'm happy about that.
Yeah,
but
Drea has a lot, which is good. Her and Romeo are tight, and they have the most stuff. I think those two are really good. I think they're really set up. Drea was my preseason winner pick.
She's killing it.
She's killing it. However, the one thing that scares me, she said she did everything on her Survivor bucket list tonight. She didn't win the game yet. She didn't even make the jury or the merge. Like, what are you talking about? That worries me because is she now going to just be like the one who's there for the adventure while the winner is Romeo? Could Romeo actually win this whole thing?
I
would
absolutely.
Not be shocked at this point.
I think Romeo, absolute. I think either of them could win it. But to me, they both like, especially Romeo with the scene that he had, I think he totally shot up to a winner. I just think like, especially what he said about like Drea and I complement each other really well. Like, I feel like I'm making her a better player, even though she's already an amazing player. Like, there's no sense of overconfidence with him, but there is confidence. And there's, like, you know, he said in episode one, he was like, if I can't win Miss America, I want to win Survivor. Like, this is the other thing that I want to win. To me, I feel like Romeo 110% could win this from an edit perspective.
Now, here's my other question, though. He's talking about how he wants to lead independent women and all of that and help them see their strength and blah, blah, blah. We have Drea. That's an obvious one. Does this set up a woman winning this season, though? Like, if Romeo, who is
guides,
who he like maybe works with throughout the rest of the game, and then the woman ends up winning the season. Look, that could be reading way too far into the edit, but I do think there's something to be said for him saying those words. Him and Drea both had lines tonight that said, I'm okay with not winning, even though they didn't come out and say, I'm okay with not winning. It was very much about like, I've done a lot of what I want to do, or I want to guide, you know, independent women. A lot of women left in the game. You still have Lindsay. You still have Marianne. You still have Chanel, who's not going to win, Alexa. Sorry. You still have Lydia.
I don't think Lindsay's going to win.
And think about this, though. Romeo and Lydia, they could have a very interesting dynamic because
it'd be fun.
She's here tonight talking about body image and all that stuff. And Romeo's about trying to help women, you know, find themselves and all that. And like, you know, win. That's a different thing. She's not in a beauty pageant, but he could help her. So I think that there's a lot to be said for what Romeo was saying tonight. Mm-hmm. I don't see Tori winning on blue. I don't see Roxroy winning on blue. Those are really the only two people who are still playing Survivor and Chanel. I really believe that. I'd say with the 12 that are left, those three are not winning. I was about to write off Lydia, and then she had that episode she had tonight. And I'm like, man, she had a lot of confessionals. She talked a lot about herself. Maybe this is just her starting to build because this is only the second time they're going to tribal council.
Yeah. I think from an edit perspective, I don't know how Lindsay wins also.
Like, yeah, she is falling off pretty hard.
Yeah, she has this amulet. And I'm glad they haven't shown like hi, Andrea and Lindsay saying like, ooh, can't wait to use my amulet. But I feel like she is not on this season, which like totally sucks.
I do think though, like after what happened with Erica, she could very much be like the Erica because yeah,
which I hope
they've also
not for her. Like, you know what yeah. I'm saying?
But you do forget they also only lost one immunity. So she had confessionals in the first episode when Jackson went home. They only lost one other time. It kind of makes sense that she hasn't had too much, you know?
Yeah, but just for a tribe that small and the other three are getting so much more attention. And she, in the pre-merge, I thought she was hilarious and clearly she's talking so much. So I'm just like annoyed, like, okay, where is she at?
Well, tonight was I'm actually looking at it right now because they already updated and I forgot to add Daniel to this. Tonight was the first night Lindsay didn't have a confessional on an episode.
Yeah, tonight it felt like actually more people had I feel like people are still getting well distributed confessionals.
Lindsay was the only one who didn't get one tonight, and Lydia had about six. And I think Lydia, let me see if they had six. They had her with five. Lydia only had four up until this point. She was probably the most under-edited person on the season up until tonight. And then she came out and had five. So now that's Lindsay good. Does have the least amount of confessionals, but she has a 2-2-2-1-0. That's not that bad, especially if all of a sudden next week she gets the amulet and she takes over and she has six, seven confessionals. Like, that's not out of the question, I don't think.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I don't think it's out of the question. It's just like, I don't, from an edit perspective, it doesn't seem like she's going to win, but I also don't really like talking about the edit this much. Let's talk about Lydia and let's talk about how her and Roxroy cannot communicate with each other. Also seem to have no interest in communicating each other. That was a great combo of people and they performed exactly as I expected the two of them to together.
So this had to have been Survivor's nightmare.
Yeah,
because you have this Gen Z girl who is so weird. Lydia is so weird. Like, I don't mean that as an insult. She's just so weird. And then you have Roxroy, who's not going to bring out the weirdness in her in any type of positive way.
Nope.
Like, she goes out there with Mike, and Mike might be like, this is unlike any girl I've ever met in my life. She's weird. Yeah. I don't know what to do. And that becomes interesting. Roxroy is just like, I didn't tell her anything because she's like, whatever. And I just think like this was their nightmare. These two coming into that moment, going up to that mountain, they were the two least edited people on this season. We're five episodes in. That sucks for the producers. That sucks for us. When they were sitting there talking at the beach, Vati, and they're trying to figure out who they're going to vote out, I was like, why hasn't anybody talked to Lydia? And I'm like, oh, shit, that's right. She's over there with Roxroy. I'd completely forgotten her and Roxroy even went on that, were going on that little journey, just because neither one of them has been, like, massively integral to what's going on in their tribes. So then they do that, and they both protect their vote because they don't say anything to each other. All they did was talk about how pretty it was. Great, you're in Fiji. Everybody knows how pretty it is. You two, come on.
See, to me, it was more like I felt like to me, I thought only Roxroy was talking about how pretty he was. It felt like two people who had nothing in common. And like the one person who talks too much just like kept talking for the sake of talking. And for what it's worth, I think both of them protecting their vote, I was like, thank you both for playing smart. I don't like that, like fine, that was boring. But I'm just so sick of like people doing dumb things for the sake of doing them. But I thought it was so hilarious. And I felt like it was kind of a good, I don't think they intended this, but like a kind of a good slap in the face to production. Like, you put me here with this guy on another tribe. Like, why would I talk to him? And I just thought it was really funny because I bet they already had nothing to talk about or nothing in common. And then they wouldn't tell each other about their tribes. Could have been a 30 minute journey.
Who knows how long it took them to actually walk up the hill. That's really all it was.
Yeah. It and now they're also completely cutting out the like conversation part of the journey, which is annoying.
Yeah. And but with this one tonight, too, you have to remember both of them at the last tribal councils they went to, they were the other option. Roxroy very well could have went home last time. And Lydia watched her name come up. And if it wasn't for Hai, she'd be at home drinking martinis. So the two of them are also probably so scared to say anything extra because they're still trying to figure out where they fit in their tribe. And you have Lydia, who almost went home last time, who is now off on this journey minutes before they go to tribal council. That's not a good place to be. And I think that's also probably why they cut the conversation, Alexa. I think there was a conversation. I think you're right. And that's what I mean. I think Lydia is just too weird for Roxroy, and Roxroy's too quiet to even try to develop a relationship with Lydia, where I just think there's so many other people that would have been a better person for her to go with. Imagine her and Tori. Yeah. That would have been great. I would have been all about that.
Oh my God, that would have been awesome. But I'm glad that we did get, like, finally get some Lydia content, because I feel like we've all been, like, itching to hear from her. And now she, it sounds like she pretty much doubled her confessional count in one, you know, in one episode. And we got something personal about her and something that's super relatable for, I assume, pretty much anyone who goes on Survivor. So I hope we get more of her. I hope this, I don't, this doesn't feel like a, oh, Lydia sob story. And then we go to tribal. No, to me, this felt like Lydia, put herself out there. Like, she's doing the thing. So let's see how far she can go.
It's a thing that everybody on Survivor goes through, except for Jonathan. Jonathan, I don't think that's the word.
I don't think he's concerned.
And I think James Clement was probably good too. Those are the only two. if either one of them was complaining about, I don't know how I'm going to look on TV. All right, get out, get off my TV then. Now you've made me angry. but yeah, so her and Roxroy both protect the vote. I knew Lydia was ultimately going to do this. I think it is the best move for Roxroy in this point, just because Roxroy has no footing in this game. And I think he needs to do that. He can go back. He can tell his tribe. Drea went right to get the extra vote, so she already knows what it's all about. He can go back. He can tell the story. He can make her believe him. They can get along because of that, and then they can move on. I think this was the best move for Roxroy. You know the merge is closing. You know your tribe isn't going to tribal council tonight. Why risk not having a vote at tribal council at the merge, like what's going to happen to Omer, when you could just solidify that you're going to be 100% fine and just hope your numbers work out?
Yeah. Would that remind me, did you notice that when Lydia came back, all five of them were sitting at camp and Lydia was like, oh, it's exactly what Jenny told us. It's this and that and the other thing. And Chanel's right there. So that I was like, Chanel is like, did she not tell them? And did they never ask? Like, do they completely not trust her? It felt weird. Like in a bad way for Chanel.
I didn't even pick up on that. That's a really good point, though, because she did specifically say Jenny's name, and I'd forgotten Chanel went to lose her vote. That's crazy. Like, that is such a good point. I really like that, and that's another knock on Chanel. I said, Chanel, Roxroy, Tori. I'm not seeing any of those three winning, although when I look at the confessionals, I'm like, wow, Tori has 13. She has the most on that tribe. Okay. Dang. I thought it would have been Romeo for sure. Who has the most season? So right now, I'll rip through this real quick, just out of the 12.
Yeah.
Mike has 19. Dang. He's in first. Who do you think would have the second most? There's two people tied, but who do you think would have the second most?
I was going to say Omar. It feels like he is the narrator of that tribe. Who else? Actually, Hi.
Yeah, so Hi and Marianne both have 16.
Wow, Marianne, okay.
Yeah, Omar has 14. Tori and Chanel both have 13.
Really?
Okay. Drea has 12, which is kind of surprising to me.
Mm-hmm.
Romeo and Jonathan both have 10, which is funny because I think those two are probably our quote-unquote like winners at this point, even though I don't think that there's other stuff that's going to happen, but those are our winners in air quotes. Lydia has 9, and five of those were tonight. Roxroy has 8, and then Lindsay has 7, yet Lindsay's has been much more consistent than both Lydia and Roxroy. So dang, very Mike. Interesting how this is shaping up.
Mike with 19.
I know. 4-5-4-1, and then 5 again. He's been killing it in terms of confessionals. And I'm going to be honest, if I'm looking at this right now, at who do I think is going to win the game, I would say the front runners, and this will change next week, but the front runners are Mike, they're Jonathan, and they're Romeo.
To win? But
to win. However, I think right beneath that, you have like Drea, Omer, maybe even Marianne, just because of how many confessionals she has. And because I do think like if she sits at the end, it'd be pretty hard not to vote for her unless she really blows up in the second half of this game. And Hi, because I think Hi is there. I don't think Hi is like a front runner, but I think he's right underneath there. And I think it's going to be one of those four who actually knocks off who I think like the leader of each tribe is right now.
Yeah, the ones who I think are winning right now are Hi, Romeo, Omer, and then probably Drea. I think that I love Mike. I think he's like one of, if not the most entertaining people on the season. I think they're making Mike out to be a little doofy. And I think like they're showing him kind of growing out of that. But to me, it looks like they're having high, like run circles around this tribe. Mm-hmm. All things like whoever knows what happened tonight. To me, I think Romeo like took a huge step forward tonight. And then Jonathan, I don't know. He got like a little negative tonight, but not negative enough that it felt like anything like particularly strong. But I agree. I think like that general group is who could win. I would love to see Marianne win.
Yeah. I think my biggest problem with a Hi win at this point is he doesn't have the idol. Mike does. And I think his tribe has the least chance of staying together. I think I would not be surprised if the next two votes were both Vati. Like I really wouldn't.
Mm-hmm.
And that hurts him. Because he's like Josh or Jeremy, where it's like he's so obviously good at Survivor.
Yeah, he's really good.
He has two people who have huge incentive to vote him out of the game, and he can't really do anything about it, and that's Lindsay and Drea, who Drea especially seems like she's in a huge driver's seat right now. I really think that these two people are going to go after Hi, because if they get rid of him, now they have a steal a vote rather than an extra vote, and he's clearly the smartest person on the Vati tribe.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I just think Mike trusts him. And I think Lydia trusts him. But yeah, the incentive thing is going to be really interesting because all three of them either like will have a bond that will make them want to work together, but they also all need to get rid of each other. Mm-hmm. I'm really intrigued by it. And I think I will like it. I hope
we'll see.
I will like it.
We'll see. We'll see how it gets butchered,
yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
We'll see how they ruin that. It. Yeah. It'll happen.
Maybe this means they got rid of knowledge is power. Maybe this is their version of getting rid of that.
That would be nice. I mean, I'm not going to really miss knowledge is power. I think it played out as bad as well as we could have asked for. So
yeah, they already broke it.
Yeah.
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 We made the merge.
We are coming up on the merge. Daniel's gone. Also, Daniel had 16 confessionals throughout the entire season.
Oh,
so
yeah.
He was up there. Obviously, I think that one's not a surprise to anybody. As I said, he did have a confessional in every episode. 4-4-4. We're coming up to it. I really hope this hourglass thing doesn't end up screwing up how exciting it is to see a 4-4-4. I also hate, though, in a 4-4-4 that this first person is not going to make the jury just because at this point, just have 9 people on the jury. Like, who cares?
Yeah, that's true. I know. I hate especially with this. It's like, you're not making the merge, but yeah. Like you are.
Yeah, but I agree. for anybody who is keeping track with their prop bet game, Chanel, High, Mike, Marianne, Omer. Those are your only chances right now at having a confessional in every episode. Out of the people who are still remaining, nobody from Blue, because that one episode they weren't in. Jonathan and Lindsay don't have a chance, and Lydia doesn't have a chance. So Chanel, High, Mike, Marianne, Omer. Those are your chances out of anybody who hasn't gotten it already. So you might be running out of options here. Oops.
Also, for those definitely not keeping track at home, Vaughn is obviously has the most people still left in his fantasy. But Phil, looks winning. Like you've got Phil's crushing it right now.
I have 40 points because Alexa gave me double points on Jonathan, and Jonathan is definitely going to the merge now. And he can win me a couple individual immunities, which would be sick because that'd be huge. 6 points for me each time. That would be awesome. Alexa, you have 29.5. Vaughn has 28. So he's coming up. We'll figure out. We don't have all of the scores for the fantasy game that we're doing with the prize there. So we'll figure that one out. In terms of prop bet, let me just get this situated for you so that we can have that. I can never remember how to do anything. Alexa, you're so much better at this. How come I can't figure out how to do
it? Oh, thank you. See, I'm like cleaning up the fantasy.
Well, Nintendoshi is still winning. Still has 19. That is still the leader. Colin Van Blarenkamp has 18. There just wasn't much that happened tonight. I think that's ultimately why not really any change going on there.
Yeah.
So not surprised at that at all. We have three people who have 10 points right now. Oh, I'm sorry. It's two because one person did it twice. I'll have to see if intern can get rid of that. Slick Slayer did it twice. But it's Slick Slayer and Zach who both have 10 points. They're leading in the bootless game, but their numbers could jump up huge if like somebody who they had, you know, going really, really far goes home next week or something like that. So still open to a lot of people unless you're sitting there with like 50 points right now, then you're probably screwed. But, you know, hey,
who's
it is fun. Let me see. Oh, I have to check. Did intern get his first point in the prop bet game? He did. Intern officially on the board in the prop bet game. And just like that, he's tied with you, Alexa. You both have
thank heavens. I think the good thing I have someone with me.
There you go. I guess is mine in here. Oh, I have six. Sucks being good at
higher
everything.
Than two. So we have someone in mind who we're going to reach out to for the merge predictions, which is always a hot mess episode. We have not picked a date or time for that yet, so we'll tweet and Instagram that out once we know. But yeah, next week is going to be a 2-hour episode, so fingers super crossed we're going to be able to podcast at 10:05 episode. Yeah. Good.
We'll be good.
Going back to the West Coast days.
Yeah, we're not going back to the West Coast days. We'll be good. Thankfully, I have DVR, so I can just fast forward through the commercials if I fall behind. So it's not like the West Coast days where I couldn't DVR it because it wasn't on yet. Those were the bad days. But yeah, this was good stuff. What do you call it? McKenna Feeney. She's doing like breakdowns of the challenges from this season and like how she feels about the challenges so far. I think she's going one by one. So that's over for the patrons. I did it for $10 and $20 patrons. So go enjoy that. Just a little extra content for you throughout these months here. While we're just busy doing this for the YouTube channel. So that is on there, patreon.com/survivorspecialists. Alexa, I don't want to see your thunder, so go ahead and do everything else.
No, definitely become a patron. It's the first of the month and it was a great time to do so. $20 patrons, you are getting pretty much more, like significantly more content than you've ever gotten before. So definitely if you are a $1, $5, $10 patron, now it's time to upgrade to a $20. As I mentioned, we'll be back at some point this weekend, hopefully with a special guest. Maybe we will, maybe we won't. We'll find out soon enough. And yeah, thanks everyone for listening. Follow us on Twitter, Instagram, all the good stuff, and we'll talk to y'all later.
Bye, everyone.
Bye.